it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Another loss for the hoodie, Bill Belichick. So, it is College Kegger here on 105 The Fan. Now, we had talked about and mentioned all the trademarks that he was trying to go for. Him and Jordan Hudson have filed with the U.S. Patent Office, trying to get just a bunch of things trademarked, like Chapel Bill, Gold Digger, Trail
Gold Digger.
Gold Digger.
They wanted the trademark Gold Digger?
Gold Digger.
Man, you talk about not having a soul that you would want to go ahead and put that out there.
She take my money.
For people to call you that, to make dimes off it.
And then another one, Trail of Salty Tears, which is completely offensive. 17 slated to be used on clothing and jewelry. That was the amount of patents that they filed. Well,
jewelry. Yeah, these are Bill's patents for right. sure.
So four.
I couldn't tell if it was her, but I saw like an overhead locker room or hallway view of her supposedly holding the locker room door as they were all going in. I don't know. I could not see whether it was definitely her or not.
So according to ESPN, the requests rejected by the patent office were four of them that the Patriots really had a hand in as well. One of them was Ignore the Noise. The Belustrator.
So the Patriots own these.
Yeah, the Patriots have also filed for these. Ignore the Noise, the Belustrator, No Days Off, and Do Your Job. Now, they say it's likely consumers would be confused, mistaken, or deceived as the source of the good or services of the party due to the fact that the Patriots had already kind of beaten them to the punch. And Bill's contention, which I don't necessarily disagree with, is that I said all these. These are mine. Like, I'm the one that said, do your job. I'm the one that said, no days off.
Yeah, Bill is the first person in history to ever say, do your job.
Right, absolutely. But he's the most notable with it.
Can I put out a suggestion here that I put zero thought or minutes into?
Well, let's hear it.
I'm welcoming your complete swift rejection of it. Can we get rid of trademark? Patented phrases?
I totally
patenting,
agree.
Trademarking the English language?
Yeah.
Is that kind of a violation of like freedom of speech? I don't have a freedom of speech to say certain things here on the radio. Otherwise, I get fined for saying that.
Right.
And does that go against freedom of speech a little bit? Like, can we? You want to patent a technology or something? Or the
right.
way you build something? I guess, okay, fine. Or maybe a recipe, but patenting and copywriting language, can we just do away with it?
So it's like, for instance, if someone were to try and profit off of a slogan, just do it.
Yeah.
A lot of people would agree, like, you're essentially ripping off Nike's
right,
work.
Right.
And so it's meant to protect those sort of things.
Yeah.
I don't think of do
Which
your
I,
job.
I agree with that.
I don't think of do your job as Bill Belichick. I know he has said it. When I hear that phrase, I think of a boss telling an employee to just step it. That's what I think of. I don't naturally go, oh, that's Bill's phrase.
Yeah. Like, what about three-peat? Or if Pat Riley made a company called three-peat, then I'm infringing upon it. But
right.
I can't sell anything that says three-peat because Pat Riley owns it. Right. That seems ridiculous.
It seems very ridiculous. It's like, was it? I feel like I remember hearing a story.
Hit me
about,
up, Franco. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I feel like I remember hearing a story about Jeremy Shockey trying to. That one radio station in New York was able to say Jeremy Shockey, and the other one had to say tight end number 80. He was trying to get that.
What?
Because he had a deal with them, and he was trying to make it like so they were proprietary, and they were never able to go through with it because, I don't know, it's your name. Trademarking your name? I don't know.
I mean,
I get Kesha, right? Isn't Kesha like a, is that a real name? Like,
I'm just having a really hard time rooting for the coaching genius of Belichick to win out in this crazy experiment he had the balls to undergo versus the personal hatred, the sports hatred of he and his girlfriend. It's like it's battling within me back and forth. Like I root for all-time greatness. I root for all-time genius. But then I got this on the other side. And what he did, what he's doing with the recruits and the non-access to hurt his own players, that is now pushing me towards the failure.
It really is. It really is. I saw a Dan Wetzel article, and I like, you know, Dan's a longtime college sports writer.
Well,
and the last line of his article is like, Belichick might be relentlessly focused on reaching the playoff just to show Bob Kraft up. And I'm like, wait a second. That means he wasn't focused on it before?
Yeah.
I mean, has he seemed focused?
Well, that's fair.
He has not.
But, like, it's like, you know, like that's the whole thing. He might be even more focused. Well, I would hope he was focused to begin with. But that is a bad situation. It's a really bad situation. And I don't know. I mean, when you have distractions, and I'm not a big distractions guy either, but, like, because I don't think filing patents is a distraction. What time does it take to file a patent? You can do it online.
I don't know. But it speaks to
where your mind is.
Yeah, you're. I mean, like the patent itself, no, but the patent is for
it's clearly a process,
some,
by the way.
Is it?
I heard my buddy from college, I think, works in the trademark patent office.
Well,
I think it takes a lot to get one passed through, like a lot of effort and work. Someone correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, and then once they have the patent, they're clearly doing it for business interests that will then take up time. And like, there's all these different things. It's what it represents, too, of just. You're clearly not totally locked in, or at least Jordan Hudson is.
She might be handling it all.
I mean, she handles everything else.
A whole heap. It is the College Kegger here on 105 The Fan. This AP voter thing has really kind of taken over. So the AP poll came out, and the first thing I do is I go to find the Reddit caption of every voter's entire voting. So they got a chart, and it goes in a row, right, on who you voted for. And it's, you're just trying to find out, really, who the morons are.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're trying. It's a great way to find out who the real idiots are. Well, they found one girl. Her name is Haley Sawyer. All right? Now, what they found is that she did not have South Florida in her top 25 as the only team with two top 25 wins.
Got you down.
But she does have Florida in the top 25.
She doesn't have South Florida?
No. So no South Florida, but Bama and Florida are still in. And they're like, well, how does this happen? South Florida just won at Florida. Now, that doesn't always mean everything. You know, like you had Baltimore ahead of Buffalo. I don't think there's a major problem with that. Reasonable people could see, watch the game and say, hey, you know what? You may have lost, but you're still better than them.
Right.
All right, I get it. Whatever. It doesn't usually play out that way all the time, especially in college. If you win on somebody else's home turf. I mean, that's a pretty good one, especially when you already destroyed Boise the week before. But that's not the issue. The issue is her answer when asked about her AP ballot.
But as far as what my votes are and what my process is, you know, I wake up early in the morning after covering a game late in the night before. Don't want to go too much into my progress or process or logic, but I will say I appreciate everybody's interaction on social media and all of your feedback. You know, there's tons of people that vote on the AP poll, and like, it's not a perfect system, but at the end of the day, like, no matter who you pick, it does even out because there's so many people who vote. And like I said, it's really fun for discussion. It doesn't, you know, probably matter in the end, but I'm glad that people are having a really good time.
And they are killing her answer because it's such a non-answer. I don't want to go into my process. And just be honest with it. Just be honest that you didn't watch any of the games, because that's the reality. And the reality is that they should not have anybody who is on a beat as an AP poll voter. If you are if you write for the Austin Statesman and you go and cover Texas against LSU, you are waking up in the morning, you are driving to Baton Rouge, you are watching the game, and then you are driving home that night. They're not giving the people at the Lexington B an expense account to go stay at a Hampton Inn. Yeah. They're coming back that night. You watched zero games. How are you able to vote?
Oh, you can watch the highlights.
Sure. Right? You look at the scores.
Yeah.
You're coming home and you're looking at the scores.
Who should vote then?
Media, former media members who aren't at games. I guess basically like
who aren't at games.
Right, because I think it's just too difficult. I think it's too I should be voting.
It's really difficult to keep up on every team during the week, period.
It really is.
She's deleted her Twitter account, by the way.
Wow.
So
because RJ Choppy.
Yeah.
Harassment.
It's not your night.
I don't know.
I knew that was coming. Yep. I knew that was coming.
I thought about it, too, and I was like, should I play it? Yeah, why?
We were 2 seconds into listening to that clip, and I went, all right, makes sense.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you can hear it. Makes sense.
You know, like, you know, so I go down and I'll look at these. I'll look at all these things. And the first thing I do is I want to see, you know, who where my school is, right? And you know, who the haters are. And I'll see, all right, did this person come from, oh, they're a Big Ten guy. They just hate the SEC. Or they're a Bama fan. They just hate Tennessee. Or now if you have A&M super low, but you know, you're Kirk Bowles, and you're right, you're Texas guy, you know, does that change things? So that was... just something that popped up there, but they are. This might be that event that eventually kind of ends this whole AP voter thing or changes it, because there is a big kind of outcry against Haley Sawyer. College Kegger here on 105.3 The Fan. Have you ever dumped your girlfriend because of your job?
No, I've always been with people who were awesome in terms of the understanding of what my job was.
Mm-hmm.
It was part of my screening process.
Your screening process. Okay. Well, this is Taylor. Is it Mauser?
I'm kind of joking, but I'm not. Yeah. So you got to be cool with this.
Yeah. Is this Taylor? It's Mauser. Is his last name? He's Iowa State's offensive coordinator. And he told Fox how he chose basically his bros.
So Mauser was dating the same girl. She came to Ames with him. And after 1 year, she said to Taylor, this isn't for me. It's either me or Iowa State. And Taylor said, I'm going with my bro. See you later.
I think she actually said, it's either me or Campbell. And right. He goes, oh, that's an easy one. Campbell, for sure.
Hey, bros before.
Oh, man.
Dang, Gus.
There you go, Gus. So he was hired in 2015 as a grad assistant from Matt Campbell. And he was dating this girl. And they go to Ames. And a couple of years later, she's like, dude, this is not for me. I hate this place. You're never home. I'd never see you. And he basically was like, okay, get out. he says, okay, get out. I'm basically a servant to the job. We heard, you know, Jimmy in his acceptance speech at the Hall of Fame was like, I didn't know my kids.
That came, in the gambler, that came across as cold.
Yeah, he was just basically like, I got to win a Super Bowl. You got to go. Yeah. And, I mean, Broadus told the story on the air before that when his when he got the divorce, his ex-wife signed the papers and she said, go win your Super Bowl when she handed it to him. I'd be fascinated to look at what the divorce rate is of Super Bowl winning coaches and GMs. I bet it's way high.
I have no idea how coaches' wives do it. No idea. I can't even look at like Brittany Mahomes in the stands with two kids and comprehend how, well, Bobby. We're having a good week, and you got a one-on-one right after this show, too. You just don't know how to stop. I can't look at Brittany Mahomes in the stands with her two kids and comprehend how she does that. And then just being by yourself as basically a single parent, there's no way. My wife is cool with a lot of stuff. No way my wife could be. If I was a coach, no marriage. Absolutely not. No way she'd be cool and fine with that schedule.
I think it'd be easier with a player. Now, there are other things that come with the player, like the groupies that you got to deal with.
Yep.
But if you're, let's just say you're Brittany Mahomes, you could see, look, Pat's got 10 years left. I got to deal with this for 7 more years, right? With a coach, it could be 40 years.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lifetime.
Worse, way worse hours.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, worse hours? And a longer time. Like, again, it's like, all right, just put up with this for like 7 more years.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'm retired. Literally, I'm retired and we never have to worry about this again.
Then you go into broadcasting like Dirk.
Then you go like Dirk.
College football kegger here on Sean and RJ. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Yes, Clowney's not signed, but that's not what I'm worried about. I'm terrified over this Cowboy injury that came out late last night. Tommy Yarsh tells us how screwed the Cowboys could be. DallasCowboys.com. Tommy Yarsh joins us next. Crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. I think no sign of the fellas. What is going on? Kevin Hagelin? You got another Ranger game today? Off day? They're playing in the afternoon?
Probably.
Okay.
Actually, I think they're off completely, Peyton.
I think Peyton was being sarcastic.
I know he was.
Don't pick on Peyton. He made the coffee right today. He sent us a video.
He did make it right. He did.
Full brew.
Yes, full brew. I just don't understand how many people and how big of a coffee mug are these people bringing up to this floor for when we get here at 5:45 for that thing to be dang near empty.
That's right.
Reitma has like a thermos, doesn't he, that he walks around with that's pretty big. I mean, he's usually here before us.
Tommy, are you a coffee guy? Who brews it up there? Who brews up the best coffee in Frisco?
Well, they've got a really good like machine here that does it pretty well. I know. But I don't drink coffee too much. I'm more of an energy drink guy. My girlfriend's got me hooked on these Alani's. This is what it's called.
Yeah.
And they're pretty good. So I usually try to have some of those. I'm not supposed to have as many as I do, but we make it work and it gets me through. Caffeine doesn't really work on me, which is interesting, but it just kind of tastes good. So I keep on having it.
Doesn't work on you.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Like it's not like if I'm tired or something, right. And I drink once, I'm not like bouncing off the walls or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it doesn't. I just don't realize it.
I mean, it is just caffeine, Tommy. I don't think it's not a drug that's supposed to make you bounce off
the walls. Well, no, yeah. Thank you for clarifying that, Bobby. I appreciate it. But I mean, even still, like, you know, naturally people, when you have caffeine, it's like, okay, you're more awake, you feel more energized and things like that. And I'm not saying that I don't, but it's just, I don't see any sort of like, you know, drastic difference before or after, or if I have caffeine or if I don't have caffeine.
Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort here on 105.3 The Fan. This Deron Bland injury, it hit me hard. I saw it first on your timeline. Tell us what you know and how long you think he'll be out.
Yeah, it's just kind of brutal, the luck that Dallas has had in the cornerback room for the last couple of years. I saw Nick Harris put out a number that 53 games that the Cowboys have played since 22. They've had all three starting corners healthy in six of those games. Only one last year. So just really, really tough luck. This is a foot injury again for Deron Bland. It is not on the same foot that kept him out last year. He injured it in training camp as a fractured foot in his left foot. This is the right foot, not believed to be as serious. Everything I've heard is saying, you know, maybe a couple of weeks. So, you know, maybe you think maybe Sunday's game and then maybe next week against the Bears. And I think they're going to kind of take it week by week. We might know more next week just to kind of see where he's at and how he's feeling. But especially with, you know, foot injuries at the cornerback position, it's something that you kind of want to take pretty lightly and make sure that you're fully ready to go, because you got to plant, you got to turn. And, you know, obviously your feet and your footwork are so important to playing the position. So, looks like a couple of weeks for Deron Bland, which certainly stinks for Dallas's defense.
So do you anticipate a move outside the building and line us up against Malik Nabers and company on Sunday with what they have?
I think as it stands right now, I don't know if they look externally just yet. I think your two options right now are Reddy Stewart, the second-year player who played for Matt Eberflus in Chicago last year, only played one game. So he's got two games of NFL experience because he did play last week against Philadelphia. So there's your first option in the slot, and the other is Zion Childress, the undrafted free agent from Kentucky who had a really good camp in Oxnard, made the initial 53-man roster, then got waived and added to the practice squad. So they can bring him up to three times and see what he can do. And I think, you know, regardless of if they start Stewart, I think they probably bring him up just because, you know, you want to have some depth at that position. I think Stewart was that for Deron Bland. So that makes me think that he'll probably get the starting nod over there. But as it stands right now, I don't think they look externally just yet.
Tommy, why don't you think they were more externally focused this offseason on corner? It seemed like they had a lot of faith in some areas in the corner room that were very uncertain. Why don't you think they pursued Jordan Lewis on a return harder, or why they didn't find a veteran nickel corner during the summer?
Lewis really... That one is puzzling to me, just because for what he ended up getting in Jacksonville, you know, I think he would have been worth that, a similar kind of deal in Dallas. So that one really to me is puzzling. And as far as the other cornerbacks go, I think they were pretty confident that they could get, you know, majority of that starting group healthy by week one, which they did. And Trayvon Diggs was back and Deron Bland's ready to go and they're rocking and rolling. But at the same time, you know, they've talked so much about depth and building depth, and behind them, you know, they've gone externally a couple of times with, you know, Christian Matthew, Robert Rochelle, those kinds of guys, but it really just, nothing has seemed to stick. So I think that it's kind of a mixture of unfortunate more injury news with guys like that and guys who were struggling to stay on the field, and you know, there's a limited amount of options. You know, I don't know too much about the exterior options at corner. You know, I think everybody was talking about Asante Samuel Jr. Well, he's got, you know, the injury that he's dealing with, and we're not sure if he's clear. I don't know if anything's happened in that front in a while. And then, well, what about Stephon Gilmore? Well, can he run the same? I think there's some concern about if he can run the same as his older days, and nonetheless, still a solid corner. But I think that's why there's the holdup there. So, you know, I think they're kind of limited on their options, and I think that's what's caused what we have right now.
And the Jordan Lewis debut in Jacksonville, one pick, one fumble recovery, three pass breakups, one quarterback hit, five tackles, three of them solo. Tommy Yarsh, DallasCowboys.com here on The Fan.
All right, Tommy. So in addition to external options, since we're already talking about those and investigating that area, obviously Jadeveon Clowney was out at practice yesterday, high on the perch above the strength and conditioning room and kind of looking over practice. The report is he left town without a contract offer and that they'll just kind of stay in touch right now. What do you think their thought process was in bringing him in the first place? And do you think that is genuinely a thing that they could boomerang back on and say, hey, we want to get a deal done at some point?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's more of a kind of wait and see thing right now, because if they had signed him yesterday, you know, it's going to be tough to throw him out on the field on Sunday and be like, all right, you know, go get him, pal. And, you know, I think it might be something where, you know, maybe they wait until next week and give him a full week of practice and things like that so that he can ramp up back into shape. You know, he's 32 years old. I mean, he still looks like a freak of nature, but he is 32 years old. So you have to consider that. I think the relationship with Brian Schottenheimer, they spent some time together back in 2019 in Seattle. Schottie's a relationships guy. So it's no surprise that yesterday during his press conference, he was talking about, you know, the one that he built with him. I think he's a versatile player. He's a better run defender, I think, than he is a pass rusher. But I think he's a serviceable pass rusher who, you know, can be productive. He tied his career high in sacks just 2 years ago in Baltimore, and coming off 5.5 last year for Carolina. You know, I don't think that they're looking at this as, all right, here's our Micah Parsons replacement. No, I think it's a young but deep defensive end room, and a veteran presence like a guy like Clowney could be something that, you know, would help bolster those guys and would help lead those guys in the right direction. And what's funny is, you know, we talked about the Schottenheimer connection. They were actually, Steve Spurrier coached both of them in college 15 years apart, which is pretty crazy to think about for Spurrier, just because that's a long time and two very different players. No disrespect to Brian Schottenheimer, but yeah, I think they see him as a versatile guy who, you know, with this commitment to stopping the run, can do that at the defensive end position for them.
If he gets signed in the meantime somewhere else, is this a major missed opportunity?
I don't think major missed opportunity, no. I think they like Marshawn Nealon a lot in a similar kind of role like that. I think it would be more of a a depth addition and a veteran presence and somebody who can, you know, help lead some of these younger guys. Like I said, I don't think it would be a major missed opportunity. They did a good job last week of creating pressure, these young defensive ends. But what they didn't do a great job of was getting the quarterback down to the ground and setting the edge. So I think that's what they're looking at Jadeveon Clowney as, a guy who can maybe do that better right now than some of these other guys, and he can lead the way in that department. So if he can do that, great. And you know, I'm sure that would be a very welcome aspect of this defense. But at the same time, if he decides to take his talents elsewhere, you know, I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world per se. I think these guys still have a talented group, but like I said, they're young.
Tommy Arsh from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Okay, Tommy, so the Clowney visit, and is this a symptom of some of that freed up money from Micah? You know, some of the references Jerry made about, like, hey, don't rule out us making a trade now. Don't rule out us doing this. Are we going to start seeing them engaged in some more of these things where they're just like, well, you know, we have budget we weren't anticipating, and now let's check in on this?
I really think a majority of the budget is going towards some of these extensions that they're doing. I'm not saying that this isn't a fallout of that, right? I'm not saying this isn't, you know, something they look at and say, okay, we can, you know, we can get a Jadeveon Clowney now. That could very well be the case. But I think really a majority of their assets they're looking to use in terms of the salary cap and the money in that position is guys like Tyler Smith, who has an extension coming up. Okay, what if George Pickens has a solid year and they want to keep him around? You know, they're going to need money for that. And, you know, free agency next year, if they feel like they need a big splash somewhere else, you know, now they have the money and the flexibility to do that. So, sure, Jadeveon Clowney getting signed, if he does get signed, you know, could be part of that and could be a result of them saving some money with moving Micah Parsons. But I don't think they look at this and say, okay, this is exactly what, you know, we were looking for. I think it's something that just happens to work out.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. Give us your preview of the Giants and what you're looking for or expect Sunday.
Well, I think, you know, for this young offensive line in Dallas, it's going to be a really good test. Of course, if Kayvon Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, Abdul Carter, and Brian Burns don't spit on Dak Prescott, it's going to be a really good test for them, because that's such a talented front four, and you know, they kind of mix those guys up, so they're not necessarily all four of them on the field at the same time. So Dallas's offensive line is going to get a lot of fresh legs from some really good pass rushers. I think Burns is the best of the bunch of the three pass rushers, but Carter is just unbelievable. We talked about him a lot on the draft show, just how good this kid is. Reminds us a lot of, you know, one Micah Parsons, not just because they wore the same number. And then Dexter Lawrence is probably the best nose tackle in football. So these guys are going to have their handful, and they're going to need to protect Dak Prescott. And then on the flip side, you know, defensively for Dallas, I think, you know, Russell Wilson is not what he once was, but he's still a veteran quarterback who can get the job done. You know, Malik Nabers is one of the better young receivers in the NFL. Trayvon Diggs said yesterday when he was talking to reporters that he feels like Nabers is going to be one of the best in the league here soon, if he's not already. So it's the Cowboys have had a lot of success against the Giants, and I think they'll win again on Sunday, but this Giants team is getting better, and they've got some really good pieces. That defensive line is really fun to watch.
Tommy, appreciate it. Enjoy the energy drink, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy your coffee.
Tommy Arsh, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. You got to pick one. Let's see who K&C is choosing tonight. Micah or the Commanders? Division or the draft pick? We crosstalk with the fellas after this.
1-1. Berger swings and clocks this one to deep center. Perkins going back. He's at the wall. It is history. Jake Berger with a 2-home-run game. And the Rangers lead it 5-2.
Eric Nadell with the call. The sweep has taken place. Well, the crowd filing in. Obviously, it is not going to be a packed house, but
sure.
Did it seem more than normal for an afternoon game?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily know if I thought it felt like more people, but I thought they were more excited. Like, we talked about it during the show yesterday before the doors even opened. There was palpable excitement from, like, the people who work there. Now, I'm sure there's people who work there that's just their job, and maybe they don't particularly care about the Rangers one way or another, but there was a lot of excitement, and then there were a ton of people lined up at the door as soon as it opened, and they were all fired up. And you know, the doors opened yesterday, like an hour and a half before the game, and they were really fired up. So there's definitely excitement.
Can this be right, though? And I know that these numbers get twisted and what's another word for it? Manipulated. Monday night,
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
20,800 in Arlington. Tuesday night, 24,500. And yesterday, it's listed as 24,600.
Yeah, I definitely didn't think there were more people there.
Yeah.
That is disappointing. I wonder, because we were just kind of talking about this. I don't think this should be the case at all. But, like, who gets jazzed up for just the concept of Rangers Brewers? Like, nobody, right? And it's the same thing next weekend, Rangers Marlins. I don't necessarily think people are inherently jazzed up about that matchup. Like, you would hope you'd look at the standings for both teams and be fired up, but I just don't know how many people do that.
Oh, the pitcher, Peyton, that we played. That pitcher. The Marlins pitcher.
Yes.
Whatever his name was.
Taylor,
yes. Where he's just like, I throw the ball hard.
No, if you're buying, I said this earlier, if you're in New York, right, except for DeGrom, you're buying a Rangers ticket or you're a baseball fan, you're like, this team's on fire. They're up and coming.
Yeah.
They're one of the hottest teams in the sport. Who am I going to see again?
Right.
That's what I'm thinking if I'm thinking of buying.
I'm here for Cody Freeman and Dustin Harris, baby.
Right?
Yeah, because there would be, and different cities have different levels of walk-up crowds. Like, I assume the Cubs would have a higher walk-up crowd. You're literally walking down the street.
That makes
sense. Hey, let's go to the baseball game.
Yeah.
Like, no one's just walking
by
the globe.
You might live right by the ballpark. Right.
But make no mistake about it. When things are happening in their games, you can feel a playoff-type level of reaction with certain things. Jonah Heim the other day caught that ball behind home plate, and I'm looking at the replay, expecting to see, like, this diving, sprawling, crazy, split the legs, major league catch.
That's what it sounded like from the crowd.
That's what it sounded like. It was like two steps, and he, like, fell down. But last night, comebacker, pitcher making a play, explosion. It feels like a playoff atmosphere.
The people who are there
are
going crazy, and you hope, especially with 2023, like, moving more and more towards, hey, we got a hit, and we're down by one run. That's a crazy, huge thing. Let's all go wild.
All right, Kevin, what is coming up on the program today?
So, it's just me and Alec for now.
Everything okay?
Yeah. I think so. Corey.
Not really convincing.
I don't know.
Are you embarrassed?
Yeah, a little bit. Corey said if we do a good job in the first hour or so content-wise, then he'll come in.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes.
If you do a good job, he'll come in. I would think if you do a bad job, he's got to come in to save
him. No. If they do a good job, then he's got to come in and be like, I can't let them think they can do the show without me. If they do a bad job, then he'd let them flounder.
Yeah.
Show me your meat.
Corey made your show.
I like that. That's one of my favorite drops. Right out of the gate, the Rangers put together the defining series of their season. And then, of course, at 12:00, is there anybody that you fear from the Giants? And then NFL overreaction or reality. We got a packed show, man.
All right, you have to pick one. You have to pick one to root for tonight. Okay. Choppy, lay it out.
The Commanders.
Oh, so okay. You're rooting, so you listened.
I get accused.
No, he did not listen. Well. He listened to the tease either, or he just knew who was playing tonight, and he put together 2 and 2 with the question.
So
we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Would you rather Washington lose for the division or Green Bay lose for the pick?
Green Bay lose. I'm rooting for Washington.
And Micah. You're rooting against Micah?
Not necessarily. Look, you know how I am. I'm more about like the asset version of it. Is I would rather see Green Bay fail so your pick is like maybe 18 instead of 28 or whatever.
Right, so you're rooting for the Commanders tonight?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right. I'm gonna keep it division early on. Division importance, I'll root for Green Bay.
Yeah. Sure?
I also made a ton of plays.
On Underdog.
Yes. Maybe. We each have different promo codes, I think, but I'll be tweeting mine out, and Choppy and Kevin will have theirs too.
So y'all's promo code TOLO,
yeah.
My promo code Masterpiece. I will say this.
Ours is easier to spell, so.
I mean, that is true. And that is like.
We should just team up and have it all be Tolo.
I agree with that. Yeah. It is the slogan of the station, but whatever. I think one of the things in their copy point that I've altered is it's always like, hey, pick your favorite athletes and go higher or lower. I said, pick your favorite or your least favorite athletes. Because like you can add a little bit of extra. You can hate lower. Watch some by going lower. Yeah. Wow.
Man, two kind of crazy NBA stories.
The Heave.
Let's start with the Heave.
Yeah, the Heave where they are no longer going to count that as a missed field goal for the player heaving it from back end of the court
shot.
At the end of a half. That is now
they
going
still
to be
get the points though, right?
Yeah, they would. And I would assume if they made it, would be a made field goal for the guy. But a missed field goal is no longer a missed field goal for them. It's a team missed field goal.
Yeah, I hate this.
This is soft.
This is so incredibly soft.
This is so
and
soft.
This has been a problem around the league where guys like hold the ball at the end of quarters. Like they don't take these shots because they don't want to impact their field goal percentage.
Malik Beasley.
Like, so you're going to just give them, like, the 3 points if they make it? Like so, like, if let's just say.
That part is confusing.
Let's say Cooper Flagg, gets the ball to just before midcourt and throws up a heave, and he makes it. All right? He gets 3 points, but if he misses, he doesn't get a missed field goal?
Here's my bold suggestion. Don't count the shot no matter what. And if you make it, you just get a made field goal on there.
How about we just count it for what it is?
No, I'm with you on that. I'm just kidding.
The only thing, and I know it's.
How many of those? All right, Luka Doncic. How many? He probably takes the most full court heaves, or I'm thinking of that in my mind because of the trick shots. What is the average amount of full court heaves a player takes in a season? Whoa. If it's 30, okay, I kind of get it, but then talent evaluators need to be factoring that in.
Well, and don't they have true shooting percentage to start to move down that road of figuring that out?
If it's 3 or 4, what are we doing here?
Yeah, this is like, you know, this would be the equivalent of like not counting kneel downs as rush attempts or rush, you know what I mean, or rush yards.
Sometimes I actually think that's more legit.
Yeah,
it should be counted. A kneel down shouldn't be counted as a rush attempt.
See, that's why
I think that's stupid.
That's why I always bet the over on rush attempts by quarterbacks of good teams.
Because if you win, you get 3 of them at the very
guaranteed
end.
Three.
That's a good idea.
But that's actually, I think, dumb, the rush attempt.
I agree. I approve of what that more than the heat.
Well, I'm an idiot. That's fine.
So I just said it was a good idea.
I understand this is like one instance, and we're talking about one heave. Like, how many heaves are you actually taking during the course of a season? But we had there was a couple years back where Maurice Harkless had the contract bonus, where if he shot 35% from 3 for the year, he got $500,000.
Yeah.
And he had 35% going into the last game, so he took no 3-pointers in the entire game. Oh. And so, like I'm saying, like, I wonder how much of it is also just like there are guys who have expressed, I take the shot, but I have contract bonuses related to my field goal percentage. I can't afford to just waste a shot that's not going in.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. You would hope that discussion could be had with the league and
the team.
Yeah,
like you could take those half-court shots out of the contract bonus clause. Right. Or, you know, I mean, whatever, however you want to do that. This just strikes me as like...
soft.
Yeah.
And how about Adam Silver coming out and saying fans who can't afford streaming services... Did Bobby send this to you?
I did not send it to you. We got it in the middle of the show.
I'm a paraphrase. Yeah, he said they can suck it.
Adam Silver says fans who cannot afford streaming services to watch NBA games can still watch free highlights, calling the NBA a highlight sport.
Tremendous ambassador for the game.
A lot of people are like, how can you say that about your sport? Is he complimenting it and being like, we produce so many highlights? And then all the Tolos are responding to me after I tweeted that out. What an elitist, basically saying the peasants can watch the news.
Oh.
He said, F the poors.
Wow. I told you, it pretty much does sound like he's like, suck it.
He's the worst commissioner in sports by far.
He's got no backbone.
He sucks.
A highlight sport. I'm going to have to hear the way he said it.
Do you think that feels insulting to the sport at all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That you don't have to watch the full game.
Yeah.
You're
not here for the passes anyway.
And a lot of people say that anyway about the NBA.
Yeah.
You only got to watch the final few minutes.
Final quarter, which I mean, like, and that's for a regular season game. Playoff game.
Sure.
Obviously is different. because there's an intensity level that just isn't there in the regular season.
The topic that Kevin Hegland has been waiting for this entire crosstalk.
Oh.
And I think it's why Corey didn't want to come in today, because he didn't want to participate. How much Charlie Kirk coverage did you watch?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Did you follow? Were you very familiar with his work?
Yes. Look, I really like political discourse. Now, I realize it's very toxic from both sides, but I like listening to political discourse. So I was very familiar with him. And then when everybody was posting the pictures of his family and stuff like that. And, you know, Bobby, I think you certainly made one of the best, if not the best tweet is, you know, no kid should have to grow up without their dad. And I was hoping that message would rise to the forefront. And for a lot of people, it did. But then there were a lot of people celebrating his death. And the good news is you can decide who you do and do not want to be associated with.
A whole lot of people told on themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
I wrote about 40 or 45 tweets. And then I just kind of just kept hitting the backspace, hitting the delete, because I didn't, you know.
Did this happen during y'all show? I was asleep.
It happened, I think, like 30-ish minutes after that.
It happened during your show. We didn't get the onslaught coverage until. Yeah,
I did not hear anything about it until 2:30 or so. I would recommend to people, I unfortunately did watch the video.
Oh, I saw the video.
I really wished that I hadn't. And I'm just sad that, you know, somebody died. You'd hope that would come to the forefront, but I understand that that's not what's happened.
Yeah, with a lot of these things, you really wish and hope, like, your first response is a human being. When that doesn't happen, it puts me into a little depression.
Yeah, and look,
what is your decent human being response to a lot of these things versus all these politicians, and I underscore and underline all. How do I point? What happens with this stuff a lot of times, everyone's holding their breath now in order to win their argument to figure out the identity of the shooter.
Right.
And we're just waiting.
Right.
Who did the Ukrainian stabbing? Okay, well, it was an American. Well, it was North Carolina laws that allowed it. That's the storyline. It's blame the Democrats. Oh, is it such and such? Is it a white person? Is it a transgender? Is it a homosexual? Is it this? Is it that? Is it someone, the illegal immigrant?
Because then I'll know how to feel.
I'll know how to blame.
Yeah.
I'll know how to blame versus someone's dead.
Yeah.
Someone's fatherless. You know, all these things, the natural human decency reaction has been removed by these people on TV and these people in charge, so I can go ahead and point and figure out how to rise up even more, get more followers, make more money. That's my opinion.
And that's why how many of the people who made videos that were celebrating this,
sure,
how many of them are just characters in a, hey, I'm trying to get more clicks? Because I know
that's
doing this
probably
is going to get
true.
Me more views, and more views is going to be money, because there ain't no way in hell that somebody who made a video celebrating this keeps their job today.
Yeah, I know.
Unless their bosses agree.
Yeah, actually, that is.
Yeah.
Unless they're. Hey,
we got somebody in this building who did that very thing. So
unless there are social media people
Okey-doke.
Living all, you know what? I'll let you guys end it with that. We're back tomorrow with Brian Schottenheimer at 8:20, Babe Laufenberg at 9:20. The K.
Hey, Corey could be here.
The KNC Masterpiece. Kevin and Medford Masterpiece. Next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.